Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Here comes the opportunity.
Oh, wow!
Just goes outside of the net.
Wow.
Moore working around.
And
goal! Canada!
Tavares! No, Cody Eakin, I'm sorry.
Cody Eakin leaves it off to Tyler Ennis.
Oh.
Tyler.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, Tyler Ennis.
Wrap around.
Woo! He's not going to sign for this.
Oh, Giroux.
Canada.
Oh. Next pass, goal!
Canada.
What a goal.
Seguin.
What a play.
Tyler Seguin.
Oh. What a save by Bobrovsky.
Woo! On Seguin.
Oh, what a play!
No! Claude Giroux! Claude Giroux! Here comes Canada once again.
Oh, goal! McKinnon!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, we will get to hockey and we will get to sports, but obviously the show starts in a place where we obviously would never want to start a show with what happened here on Saturday. We'll talk a little bit about that and then we'll somehow transition into sports and talk about some other things from the weekend. I'll just give you my experiences. Jeremy, you can give us yours on what happened here Saturday. I happened to find out via Twitter. It was out. It was, I bet, like many of you. It's a gorgeous day, out doing stuff, out working in the yard. Popped in every now and then, took a break to see what was going on in the world of sports, and I saw the news on Twitter. And then decided to watch the coverage for, I don't know, probably a couple hours through the news conference they had with the mayor and everybody else. And I don't know. I mean, it happened here, but we've experienced this so many times, sadly, in our lives and other places. I was sad. I was angry. I don't mean to sound naive because I understand that there's hatred in the country. I just don't know why. I don't understand how. We have people in the country who hate someone because the color of their skin is different. And we have people in this country who hate someone enough because of that. They need to go out a weapon and randomly shoot innocent people and kill innocent people. You get somewhat numbed by it. You're distressed by it. We're learning the stories of the victims now. We're getting the names. We're getting who they are. We find out about the grandmothers, the parents, the retired Buffalo police officer who was working security the other day, the mother of the retired fire commissioner for the city of Buffalo. And it just makes it even worse and worse. And we see the family members and people grieving on television. And I don't know, Jeremy. I don't know what to say. We're all shocked. We're all stunned because it happened here. But it's not like this is a new story. And I don't understand how we're still at a point in this world, in this country, we have that kind of hate. How do you get, I guess at the end of the day, what distressed me, what saddens me the most, what's frustrating? I don't have an answer. I don't know if anybody does. How do you get rid of the hate? How do you get rid of the, how do you end racism? How do you get rid of the hate? Can it ever be gotten rid of in my lifetime, in your lifetime, in the lifetime of your twins? That's the frustrating part. I don't mean to say I don't know how people can hate. I guess I understand. I don't know. But I just don't know how we go about getting rid of it and get to a point where we just don't have this existing in our country because it just seems like it'll never, ever end. I'm almost 60. I was learning about this in history books in the schools in the 1970s. 50 years later, nothing's changed.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of things to talk about to, you know, get to with it. One of them is, you know, for every person that says, I never thought it would happen here, it could happen here, I would ask, why? Why would anybody think it could not happen here? You know, I think sometimes people say that to just, you know, represent how shocked they are that it did happen. But, you know, we've been through this as a country, how much? 100 times? 200? Yeah. How many times? I mean, it's...
There was a... When I was watching the news on Saturday, I don't remember the number, but there was a... They talked about a stat. They said 198 mass shootings. And I thought, oh, that's got to be... Wow, over how many years?
This year, probably. This year. Yeah, yeah.
And it was May. It's mid-May.
I think it's anything over four is a mass shoot. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, every single day, pretty much. You know, the only country where this really regularly happens... But, you know, again and again and again. So, you know, I don't know. If you thought it could never happen here, I guess I don't say I envy you. I'm not trying to criticize anybody that says that. I would just wonder why. I mean, why would anybody in this country feel safe from gun violence when it is an epidemic in this country, has been for decades? You know, the kind of weapons that this individual was able to acquire. You know, how many times will it be pointed out that they were legally acquired?
Right.
You know, there used to be an assault weapons ban in this country. And then if, you know, you start to try to talk about assault weapons, people will talk to you about, well, you don't know what you're talking about. That's not an assault weapon. This is an assault weapon. You know, and you can get really bogged down in a lot of the stuff that isn't all that important. So, I mean, you know, why is there this hate? The answer is it's big business. It is business to drive people to do what he did, basically. I mean, not to his level, but to get grievance and to divide and to stoke racist flames. Like, that's big business in this country. And it is a successful business model for some media companies. So, you know, it's just that's the way of our current world, unfortunately. There's a lot of grievance stuff. And I don't know. Like, I don't know all the things to say about it. I don't know what you're supposed to do about it. It's, you know, there are a lot of sad elements to it. Some of the saddest is that when you hear it happening, you immediately can envision the next 4 to 5 days of now's not the time to talk about this. Yeah. Don't make this political, even though it is political. I mean, the person is making a racially motivated and a politically motivated killing spree. So, okay, we're not supposed to make it political. Okay, we're not supposed to talk about, you know, we've all been through it. We've all been shouted down by strangers that we shouldn't talk about a certain thing about it. And, you know, on and on we march until the next community loses 10 people and they say, we can't believe it happened here.
That's among the sad things is, of course, that's inevitable that's going to happen. I think almost every community probably says,
yep.
I can't believe it happened here. I was thinking about, a few years ago, there was a shooting at a synagogue at a suburb of Pittsburgh. And, you know, it was a nice little quiet suburb, wonderful neighborhood. Can't believe it happened here. And I think everybody always says that. They don't envision it happening in their neighborhood or in their city. But one of the sad things is we'll go through this. The president's going to be in town tomorrow. You know, there were prayer meetings yesterday. There are donations being taken. There are GoFundMe campaigns being set up. All this stuff will happen, and it won't be the last time. It's just, okay, which city is next to say, I can't believe it happened here? Because it's inevitable that it's going to happen again, and that there's a frustration at the end of the day of, you know, when there's a problem, you try and figure out the solution, and you try and fix it, and hopefully you're successful. And it just, there's this... problem is a terrible word to use. It's like minimizes a loss of lives, and it just seems like there's never any way to fix it and prevent it, and it just keeps going on and on and on. You just change the name of the community, you change the number of victims, and nothing ever changes. And at the end of the day, that's so frustrating.
You change the sports team that honors the victims, you change the t-shirt that says blank strong
slogan, yeah, right.
You know, and it's not to try and make fun of that. I can remember sitting in this chair with you and saying, like, here we are again. It might have been Los Angeles at one point, right? Like, Luke Robitaille on an intermission report even said as much, said, like, what you know, it's great everybody says all this stuff about coming together, but what difference does it make?
Right.
You know, in terms of preventing it in the future, are we ever going to actually do anything as a community, as a country, to make change, substantive change, instead of just selling T-shirts saying we come together. You know, the messaging from the mayor and the messaging from some of the politicians say this person wasn't from here. Okay.
Who cares? Yeah, it doesn't matter.
That's not a marketing.
Right.
What are you trying to say? Like,
yeah.
Congratulations. He's from the state, right?
Right.
And doesn't matter where he's from, really.
It matters what he thought and what he did about
it. Yeah, it matters.
And how he was able to put a plan together and put it in place. And I read this morning he was planning on going to another location.
Yeah.
He was going to leave Tops, drive to another location, and kill more people.
And he was already questioned once and brought in for a mental health evaluation. And
yeah, for threats in his high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I guess that's, yeah, at the end of the day, or while I'm watching the news on Saturday, the thought just kept popping back in my head, who's the next community? You know, whether it's a supermarket, a school, a movie theater, a bar district. Like I said, it just changed the name of the city, changed the number of victims, and the story goes on and on and on, and it just appears to have no end, and that's... I don't know. That's the loss of life, obviously, and the effect on people. There are people in our community. This wasn't watching another community on television. There are people that some of our listeners perhaps know. Maybe you know family or friends of victims who were murdered on Saturday. So now it comes home personally. So that's increasing the level of sadness in this story. But at the end of the day, I guess for me, Jeremy, beyond the obvious of the victims and learning the stories of the victims and the people who are suffering, I just don't know how it ends. And it's just going to happen again and again and again. And it's just a feeling of frustration and helplessness that it just keeps going on. And it appears that the debate will happen and person A will yell with person B and there will be no solution.
But what is the debate?
Well, I guess the debate is why an 18-year-old kid is able to buy an assault rifle and just walk into a supermarket and blow people away.
Yeah.
I just don't understand that. And I'm closing Twitter. I'm not here to start a gun control debate. I'm not a news talk show host. I talk about sports. But I will tell you, and I do like to keep my views to me, because this is a world that people can't respect other people's views. It turns into hatred and vitriol. I don't know why an 18-year-old kid needs to be able to have the ability to just go buy an assault rifle.
Well, I do think that with regard to this and a lot of these mass shootings, there are some that have really brought about the gun debate. And then there's a new kind of them that brings about the racism conversation,
mm-hmm.
to which I think is more central and more important,
yeah.
To be totally honest.
I don't know how do you stop that? How do you get the hate out of people?
Well, you start by stop putting it into them. You know, getting it out is one thing. Stop putting it in, because it is cultivated. It's 100%. It's cultivated. It's, you know, it's grown.
It's handed down from generation to generation.
It's not even that. It's built into, you know, people that don't have it can be radicalized. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there are ways to be radicalized one way, radicalized the other way, but... You know, the pandemic has made life hard for a lot of people, and maybe that's added stressors for people that, you know, it's, you know, I, going back to what year's Columbine, it feels like the gum conversation. Sure. And then there's, you know, Newtown.
Yeah.
Like Newtown is gun control conversation.
Yeah.
And the Pittsburgh is racism, mm-hmm. and anti-Semitism. And in El Paso, Texas, that's racism and the replacement theory and all that. That's what this one is. You know, this one's more than just, why does that guy have a gun? This is also, you know, tactical gear and that kind of stuff.
Right,
and then
the body armor.
Sure, right.
And live streaming this?
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of a sick someone walks in, I mean, does this and writes a manifesto that apparently is out there and then live streams the video.
And the video is online, and... I think a law that was just passed in Texas makes it illegal to take the video down. It can't,
as opposed to an illegal video putting it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Why can't you take it down? Really, you need people to be able to see that video.
Exactly. You know, there's a lot of, I don't know, a lot of misplaced goals. Who knows? It gets tough. It gets really tough. You know, like I said, when you said, you know, the debate. Part of me thinks, like, what is the debate?
Yeah.
I don't understand what people are debating. And a lot of people, you know, are motivated for change and can sometimes feel powerless and feel like, you know, what can I do? What can we do? maybe you think, like, I'm not a racist person. What can I do? And, you know, I can understand feeling like that, feeling like I didn't do anything, but I don't know. It's just so many.
But then it feels like, you know what, if you felt that way, it feels like that it's unbeatable, racism. That it's you can go out in your community and you can get involved. And I can sit here and watch. Go on Twitter almost any day of the week. You'll find somebody posting a video of some racist, crazy person in a store or anywhere. I saw one over the weekend of some woman in a car, some cab or limousine service car, whatever. I have no idea. I saw a tweet about, I didn't even want to see it, but it was tweeted about this woman yelling and screaming, a racist. The guy throws her out of the car.
Yeah, I saw that.
I didn't want to watch it because I've seen this video before. Or some woman yelling in a supermarket. I don't understand. I guess, sorry, again, I'm going to come off sounding naive, so I apologize. But I don't understand how you can get to the point. How do you learn or become a person who thinks, you are better than another human being, superior to another human being because of the color of your skin, and then get beyond that and get to a point where you actually think you need to rid the world of other people because of the color of their skin.
And it comes down to another part of it, which is my problems are their fault. That's what this is about.
You're thinking, okay, I got you.
The replacement theory stuff that's been mainstreamed, or maybe it's the first time you've heard of it, maybe you're reading about it because of this guy's manifesto. Like, you know, you could say don't post it, don't read what he wrote. You don't have to read what he wrote. It's not that far out of the mainstream anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's about I need to act on the people that are ruining my life, ruining this country. You know, it's terrible.
That's
terrible.
At the end of the day, that's, I guess, the part that I'm wondering about. How do you change people like that? And there are so many people. It's not like this is a small group of a few people in the country that think that.
One of the ways to do it is to, and this is, you know, media companies, sometimes whether it's a website, a social media, you deplatform people that try to grow this sentiment. And that does work. You know, taking people off of YouTube, taking people off of Twitter, off of Reddit, or some of these other websites where they gather. And, you know, that, of course, leads to cries about free speech. Mm-hmm. And, you know, free speech is a very warped conversation to have right now. You know, the idea Elon Musk wants to buy Twitter just for the sake of free speech, which is not a free speech conversation. He will probably re-platform a lot of people that were taken off of Twitter because of their views, because they might subscribe to similar kinds of things, you know. It's not the only thing that gets you deplatformed, but the answer is that does work. It makes it so this message, reaches fewer people, mm-hmm. which you would think is a success.
I would. I mean, I'm all for free speech. I don't know that free speech, when the founding fathers put together the Constitution and people put together the Bill of Rights, that free speech included professing and advocating hatred and violence towards an entire class of people. I don't think that shakily goes into free speech.
I mean, I don't mean to sound like I think I have all the answers. I definitely don't have all the answers, but it seems like some of the problems are easily identifiable. You just say what they are, and it's important to say what they are. And in this case, you know, sometimes I had somebody over the weekend say that this was about mental health. It's like, nope, it's not. It's actually not about mental health. There are a lot of things that are about mental health. And if you think that anybody that just can do something like this must be crazy, like, I understand that. Like, we all think, like, you've got to have something wrong in your head. Mm-hmm. But you can be completely mentally sound and execute something like this, and you're driven by, you know, hatred.
Well, you don't have to be crazy to have hatred in your,
right.
in your bloodstream, basically.
And if you think that it's you're crazy to be racist, like, I understand thinking that, but if you think that the only way someone would ever do this would be to be crazy, then you dismiss the idea of real active racism and acted upon racism. So, like, that is a real thing that people act on. Mm-hmm. People run for office on it. And they're not talked about as having mental health issues.
Oh,
they're
that's
just,
true.
They just have views that they think, you know,
racism can come in different forms. It can come in violence.
Forms.
It can come in housing. It can come in employment, blocking someone from a job. It can come in hiring processes. It can come in a whole bunch of different ways. But I mean, no matter how it comes, whatever, racism is needs to be ended, whatever form it ends up being in. And I just, like I said, I don't. I mean, there's no indication that there's progress being made, or that you're going to stamp this out in my lifetime.
Right. Ending it would be great. Stopping the promotion of it would be a step.
I guess that's the first step before you end it. Mm-hmm. You have to stop the promotion of it to get to the ending of it all completely. And I just, it's amazing. It's just unbelievable. And I, again, I feel, I think about, you know, the people in the black community who, you know, you live your life wondering if there's some crazy person out there who's a racist is coming for you next.
Yep.
I don't wake up every day worried that, you know, my life is in danger. I have no idea. I don't know how that even feels and how you deal with that. And if you're a member of the African-American community, not just here, but anywhere in this country, do you live your life in fear that, like, your day could come at some point and this is going to happen to you or friends of yours, or just basically because your skin color is different than another person's? I don't know what that's like, obviously. I don't live in that fear, and that's all part of the frustration and the feeling of helplessness and the sadness, is that people in our country are waking up every day wondering, you know, is there some crazy person with a gun coming into our community today? You know, right? What was it? The church in South Carolina where a prayer meeting was going on, a kid walks in and opens fire. Like, I mean, I'm at a loss for words as to how do you live your life when stuff like that happens? I just don't know.
And when shooters like that are cultivated.
Yeah. And leads, and there'll be another one and another one and another one and another one.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough.
Yes, it is.
It's really tough. And, you know, to say, you know, wake up and fear for your life, you know, I agree. And there are segments of the population that do and that have to.
It's amazing. Well, we went through this a little bit with there's so many different tragedies, but the idea of the police violence, and like, I've been pulled over for a traffic stop before. I've gotten I've gotten multiple traffic tickets, right? 3-4 in my life, probably. So I've been pulled over. Never once did I fear like something bad going to happen. Am I like, could I get shot?
Yeah.
They never asked me out of the car. They just said, hey, you were speeding. Give me your license. Here's your ticket. And we all moved on. And I don't even have an idea. Who was it? I don't even remember. Was it Marlon Kerner, maybe?
Yeah.
Was telling a story. I apologize if it wasn't Marlon, but it's somebody we had on the show. Was talking about the speech they gave to one of their kids when they were going away to college. Hey, if you ever get pulled over, this is what you do. I never gave Jonathan that speech. Never even crossed my mind to tell him that, you know, hey, just so you know. I just, and again, I know I'm going off on a different tangent here, but it's the concept of your skin color is different and you deal with these fears in your life that I've never had to deal with in 59 years on this planet.
Well, and, you know, just a little bit more on this. Like, so over the weekend, you said how you found out. I found out, of course, like as it was happening, stopped into the local pub, and guy I know there said, the people on their phones, like there's a lot of action going on. There's something going on. There's a shooting down at Tops on Jefferson. Like, oh, okay. And by the time I got home, it had started to trickle out. We were hanging out with Bulldog and his wife. They were over for, you know, hang out, sit outside. And it became, we're watching the hockey game. Mm-hmm. Would have been Boston, Carolina.
Yep.
And then I saw somebody tweet, Channel 7's going live. Like, okay, let's turn on Channel 7. And then, you know, watch from there, the coverage. Edge Ranch live on Channel 7 for a lot of that.
Yep.
So then you know, it kind of becomes like it does right now, which is, should we be watching this? Is it important to watch this? Is it important to, you know, as a member of the community, as people that live here, it doesn't feel right to watch hockey. It feels like I should be paying attention to this. I want to give this my, you know, emotional investment. I want to give this my attention. And, you know, it's a little conflicting even right now because I don't feel like I am the voice that should be representing really, I don't know, acting like I represent anybody or anything. Like, I didn't tweet about it all weekend. I just retweet all the people that I think need to have a platform.
Yeah.
The people in that community. The people that lost loved ones. Mm-hmm. The stories of their lives. How to donate to the food pantries and how to donate to the community fridges.
Right.
The points about how that area is a food desert because, you know, some supermarkets don't want to go into communities like that. Mm-hmm. And segregation and how segregation in communities leads to different circumstances. In this case, the targeting of a mass shooter. So, you know, all these things are boiled in, and I just think there are a million better voices than mine. The difference, of course, now is, well, 6 o'clock, you're on.
Yeah, right.
So,
right.
You know, I don't, I hope anybody doesn't think I feel like, oh, I'm the expert. I want to, you and I think we're experts.
I'm far but, from it.
But it's a, you know, it's a long way from being able to say, like, hey, how about that Leafs game? You know,
right.
It's stuff that you should talk about. You have to talk about. If you don't, I think you're kind of a joke. So, anyway, like, I what do you do from here? You donate to those community fridges. You know, if you wonder about structural racism and you hear about a lot of these buzzwords and terms these days, read the stories about how there aren't supermarkets there. That's a start.
Yeah.
Like that might, maybe you open your ears and you didn't always understand what it was about structural racism and how it can be 100% built into cities and segregation of cities. Well, what difference does that make? That makes this kind of difference. Mm. And it makes a difference in how they are policed and how their roads, the roads in different areas are taken care of differently. How investments in this school versus that school. Because when you have segregation and you can, you know, break apart districts, then you'll see different investments. And
healthcare, medical services,
everything.
Things not available on an equal
everything.
Basis.
The study about how long it takes to get an ambulance to respond or a police response.
Yeah.
You know, like everything is built in. And that's why any sort of big conversation about structural racism, it doesn't mean, you know, it's a really big buzzword and a lot of yelling at schools about critical race theory and all this. And, oh, it just says that all white people are racist. And that's not at all what it does. It just points out, like, hey, if you open your eyes and pay attention to what has happened for hundreds of years, mm-hmm. decades, still happening. The only way to get through it is to acknowledge it, to look at it, to learn from it so we don't continue to do it. And even that gets unbelievable animus, pushback. It's incredible. You're not even allowed to teach about racism in some schools, in some parts of the country anymore. Hmm. They want to, you know.
Well, anyway, that's part of the problem. They have to, you can't, if you don't get taught what happened, you don't understand what happened. You don't learn from the past don't know what happened in the past. You can still make donations, by the way. Jeremy mentioned the community fridge, Buffalo Community Fridge. I know they said they're no longer taking cash donations, but they are taking food donations. So you can help them out. There are GoFundMe pages that have been set up for families of the victims. I was looking for a link for it at some of the websites this morning. I'll actually check with our sister station, WBEN. I know Jeff Russo from Channel 7 tweeted out over the weekend. He did tweet out, I believe, a link to the GoFundMe pages. So if you want to look up Jeff Russo, WKBW-TV, that should be in his timeline. And I'll find out if we have some other links we could pass along. So, but there are other ways that you can make, like I said, cash donations, food donations, whatever, if you'd like to find a way to help out the community that is grieving on the east side. All right, we will get to sports, hockey, lots of stuff from over the weekend.
We'll probably check back in with this over the course of the next 4 hours, too. I mean, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
That's, you know, somebody wakes up at 7 and says, how come you haven't addressed it?
That's true. People are in and out over the course of the show. That's right. Can't believe people don't listen to us for 4 consecutive hours. 803-0550 to join us this morning. Phone lines are always open with whatever's on your mind. 888-550-2550 to join us on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
To get organized on the power play, but not much time left with the man advantage. 12 seconds. On the left wing, carried down, Krebs, Becker's side, shot, he scores! The Avex put it away! One time shot in OT! And again, the Avex win it 4-3 in overtime!
Longtime voice of the Avex, Don Stevens with the call. Hey, real quick, So the one side I did find, if you want to help out with donations, like I said, their GoFundMe campaigns are set up. I did find a link there because there's 5 different GoFundMe campaigns that are underway. If you go to Channel 7's website, WKBW.com, you scroll down on their homepage. It's very easy to find. There will be you'll see a story under local news. How can you donate, or how you can donate to the victims of the Top shooting? And if you click on that, you'll see a link in the story, and you open the link, and there you are. There are 5 different GoFundMe campaigns. Oh, I think they've raised a little over $30,000 already. But all of those campaigns are underway to help the families, money going to the families of the victims from Saturday's shooting. So if you can help out, if you're wondering how you can help, rather, that's a nice little one-stop place to find all the different GoFundMe campaigns that are underway right now.
Also from headlines, we did not mention the Mavericks Suns game because it was over after 5 minutes.
I didn't see a second of the game, but I would wonder, top seed on their home court loses by 30 something. What is it? 30, 35 points?
They were down at one point, held a 30 point lead, and just it never.
It was a 30 point lead at halftime. Like,
the Suns looked just completely disinterested.
Well, Dallas didn't miss. Sometimes it comes right down to they shot 19 of 39 from three. And you shoot 50% from three, you're going to win most games, especially if you take that many shots. So Dallas advances.
Yeah.
And the Celtics beat the Bucks in Game 7.
Yeah.
It is too bad. You know, the thing about the Celtics is, if you watch them play, I actually think they're kind of fun to play and fun to watch play and have a lot of cool players. And then they'll pan to the crowd, and I think, I like that.
Boston fans.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, you can't handle it.
This team's likable. Pan to a guy high-fiving his buddy. Ooh, I don't like that guy, though. He's Boston.
No, I can't. I mean, there are no Boston teams anybody can root for. For me, the Celtics thing is, it's when I grew up a Knicks fan, the team that you despised growing up, well, not surprisingly, it's New York versus Boston. But if you grew up a Knicks fan in the 70s, well, Braves fans. If you're a Braves fan, you felt the same way about the Boston Celtics. That was the team that was always standing in your way in the East. It was the Lakers out west. It was the Celtics out west, out east. And the Celtics teams were the ones the Knicks always had to battle in the 70s. So I haven't liked the Boston Celtics since the 1970s. That's where I first learned to root against the Boston teams. And it's just taken off over the years. All right, if you're just joining us, yes, we spent time in the first segment. We'll move on and get into some sports things, but we've spent a lot of time in the first segment talking about the shooting on Saturday. And, you know, phone lines are open. It's yes, we will talk about sports, but obviously there are times when sports takes a back seat, sadly, with tragedy and things that happen like this. So we will not stop you from having a conversation about this if you so desire at 803-0550, 888-550-2550.
What else happened?
The Leafs happened. My whole weekend was, well, two things. One, getting outside and doing projects around the house because I'm back to having a second arm as a human being, which is a nice thing.
Nice.
And two, the Leafs. My whole week, I mean, it was geared around get everything done because Saturday night at 7 o'clock, I'm watching the Leafs and the Lightning. It was a hell of a game, by the way. And no, I'm not going to lie. I was rooting for the Lightning. I was glad Toronto was eliminated. There, I did see some tweets afterwards about how, you know, you got to feel sorry for the Leafs and all other stuff. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I will tell you that if they want to blow up that team, you have my blessing. I think that'd be a bad idea. It's an extremely talented hockey club that sometimes luck of the draw got screwed by the playoff format, which accounts for some of their first round
some
exits.
Some of them, yep.
Not all of them. Should have beat Montreal. Should have beat Columbus. But and this season, this series against Tampa was really well played throughout the course. It was an evenly contested series. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. They lose to the two-time defending champions by a goal in Game 7. So if they want to fire their coach and their GM and people are going to blame the top guy. By the way, the top scorers in the series for the Leafs were the top players on the team. Mm-hmm. Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, those guys were the top 4-point producers. If I were them, I would, you know, I don't know why you keep losing in the first round. Like I said, sometimes luck of the draw. But I would not blow that team up. It's a really talented hockey club. And sometimes you just run into a team that beats you in a best-of-7 series. Well, they lost twice to Boston. You know, they lost once to Washington when they were the President's Trophy champions. But so I'm interested to see what they do and if they react like crazy in Toronto and just start blaming, you know, the not moving Matthews, but are they going to blame some of the good guys on the roster? Those guys produced. They played. Played well.
I do feel bad for the Leafs a little bit. You know, it got to the point where I'm with you. I'm rooting against them.
Yeah.
And then it gets down to Game 7, and then they're down 2-1 at home, and I just feel awkward for them.
Did you? Really?
Yeah, my feeling was, I can't believe it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
Oh, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, these guys, like, they deserve better than this.
There was a single moment.
Yeah, where you felt like that?
When the game had ended and they were waiting to do the handshake line and they're showing some of the Leafs on the ice. And I'm reading, I'm on Twitter after the game and, you know, they're saying, was it Matthews? One of the guys was fighting off tears and these guys, Marner, they're talking about how they can't believe this has happened again and how they're going to have, you know, this is going to hurt all off season. There was a nanosecond where I thought, oh, it's got to suck for those guys.
Yeah.
But it was just, and then that thought went away. But yeah, look, the Sabres, I never looked it up, but the Sabres had a stretch, I think, right, in the 80s. Couldn't get out of the first round forever, right? That was the whole thing about beating Boston and May Day, right? I think that was their first playoff series win. I got to look it up. In forever. It can happen. You know, it happens. Unfortunately, it's a high-profile franchise that's been regularly a top 10 team over the last 6 years in the point standings and somehow, some way, and blows leads, too. I mean, it's not like they're not just losing a playoff series. The closeout stat is now 0-9. 0-9. That doesn't include Boston from 10 years ago. Chance to close out a series in the last 6 years. They've had 9 chances. One win and you move on to the second round. And they lost all 9 games. That is eye-popping.
It's incredible. Yeah.
That's the part that, okay, maybe that's the part where I was going to feel bad for somebody. You're in position. You're not getting swept. You're not getting beat 4-1. You're leading sometimes 3-1, and you can't close the series out for whatever reason. Home ice, road game, doesn't matter. 0-9 in closeout games, this group. That's, to me, I mean, that is astonishing that they haven't won one game somewhere. And they didn't even play badly in this series.
No, they didn't. You know, I'm trying to think of any other sports equivalent where they just keep underperforming. And the best example I might have would be the Ovechkin Caps before they won the Cup.
Yeah.
There were a couple of years, you know, they went out as a 1 seed and there was some that thought, I remember Adam Proto wrote the Hockey News, it might be best for the Capitals if Ovechkin left and went to the KHL. You know, you just, you get so desperate for a different outcome that you'll do almost anything for it. And
well, and you're going to hear again, I've already saw over the weekend, the Leafs are built for the regular season but not for the playoffs.
Nonsense.
What does that mean?
It's nonsense.
Well, how do you have 100 and whatever 15 points they had and be one of the best teams over 82 games and then tell me it's not built for the... By the way, if it's not built for the playoffs when it gets defensive, this was the highest scoring round in 20 years.
And how could you say that a team that wins in 7 games 3-2. What was the final game?
2-1.
If you go to game 7 and win 2-1, oh yeah, you're built for the playoffs. You lose 2-1, you're not.
Right.
Andrei Vasilevskiy was incredible in this series. I mean, Campbell was good.
Yeah.
Vasilevskiy was unbelievable. Okay, I guess you're not built for the playoffs. Okay, are the Rangers? The Rangers are?
The Rangers were, sorry to yawn, the Rangers for over 7 games were not the better team.
Not at
all.
Sometimes. But their goalie was.
But the Penguins are playing a third string goalie for most of the series.
Yeah. My stat of the day is on the Rangers and Penguins, who got out of the Rangers got out. I can't believe the Rangers got out of that series. Pittsburgh had a lead. Pittsburgh's the better team.
Yeah.
They just,
well, Crosby gets knocked out and that series turned.
Yeah, a little bit. They said he did not have a concussion, by the way.
Right.
He got evaluated, but not diagnosed with a concussion.
Right.
Anyway, here's the stat of the day.
Brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury personally.
So this comes from Mike Kelly. Igor Shesterkin, they survive. He makes it out of this round. He was
terrible.
He wasn't great.
The guy's a Hart Trophy finalist.
Yeah.
He was not good.
But the fact that they get out of that series, that might be the Rangers' best feeling right now. Is like, listen, we made it out, and he didn't have his best series.
He played well last night, but most of the time he did not have a good series.
But he was probably the better of the two goalies because he's
Louis
still
Domingue
better.
Was, yeah,
Louis
right.
Domingue, yeah, right. And Tristan Jarry, and like anyway. Here's the stat on Shesterkin. Mike Kelly had this. Mike Kelly of NHL.com, I believe. Yes. NHL Network. Igor Shesterkin. 5 whole goals in the regular season. 7. He was beaten 5 hole in the regular season.
Just seven times.
How many times in this series?
9.
8.
What happened?
8 5 hole goals in this series after 7 in the season.
Hmm. Why would Pittsburgh think that was a vulnerable area for him, or what would have happened?
I don't know.
But all of a sudden,
they got him.
So yeah, yeah, they're lucky. I wouldn't expect them to beat the Canes. The defense played terribly in front of him. He didn't come up huge in the series, but they got a break because the Penguins were down their top 2 goalies, and then Sidney Crosby was knocked out of a game and missed a game entirely.
Yep.
If Crosby plays in Game 6, who knows? You know, maybe the series ends differently, and the Penguins move on into the next round.
Back to the Leafs. You know, who's got to go? Are they going to blow it up? What do they do? I mean, even Tavares has been contributing for them.
Yeah.
He scored a goal in that game that got waved off in Game 7.
Which was the right call.
Yeah,
the guy set
right
up
call.
A pick play.
You know, I just think that... You see who scored the goal last night for Calgary?
No.
Zach, did you see who scored the goal for Calgary last night? Gaudreau?
Yeah.
You remember what...
Yeah, they were getting rid of him.
And why was that?
Because it was his fault they were losing.
He couldn't score in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, he did all right last night.
He did all right last night.
Yeah.
Like, if you're the Leafs, I just think you have to resist the urge. Should we trade Willie Nylander? No.
Right, his name's come up in the year. It
always
seasons.
Comes up. I'll take William Nylander in a heartbeat.
I thought, like, Leaf fans were targeting, like, Marner in the last year or two. Like, hey, what about Marner?
Maybe that's because he makes $11 million, right? And Nylander makes, like, 6.
And they do have they have a little bit of a cap issue they're going to deal with. They don't have a ton of cap space.
Yeah, flat cap makes that a problem. I should check Nylander's most recent. But, I mean, if you're the Leafs, what should you do?
Keep your core intact.
You should keep going.
Yeah.
You should curse your fate and find ways to get better and just keep going.
You know what you should
Nylander
do?
Nylander makes 6.9.
Think about the current playoff format. Go back in the current playoff format. I'm not going to do this, but if you're not busy today, go back in the current playoff format and find out who Toronto, or in the old format, who would they have played? Not in this 2-plays-3, because quite often Toronto is getting screwed because they're in the 2-plays-3 matchup in their division. If it was an old, let's say we went just 8 teams in the Eastern Conference made it. 1 played 8, 2 played 7, 3 played 6, 4 played 5. I bet you Toronto won a first-round series somewhere. Look, the biggest issue they had was Montreal and Columbus are the 2 series you'd look at. It's no shame losing twice to the Bruins when they were probably a better team. You lost to Washington over the President's Trophy. You lost to the 2-time defending Stanley Cup champions in a 1-goal game in Game 7.
Yeah.
None of that's terrible. how they blew the series to the Canadians and how they lost to Columbus, those are the ones that really made this, you know, made it difficult to take. But if I were them, they're a really good hockey team. I would not make major changes. I would not move out the core guys. And it wasn't even a matter of, I didn't think Jack Campbell killed them this series. They've had some bad goaltending in the past. If I were to give them advice, I would just tell them to stay the course. And if they want to blow it up, I'm all for it, because that maybe opens up a spot for the Sabres in the division to move up if they blow things up in Toronto. I don't think they will. I think they'll have the sense of mind to keep the core intact and just say, what do we need to do to get better to try and get out of the first round of the playoffs?
It was unintentionally very embarrassing that Sheldon Keefe said about the Leafs that he felt like they got more respect in the handshake line this year.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that that a caller would say to make fun of them.
Yeah, not a team that finished, what I think it was 115 points. 115 points. You're not looking for respect in the handshake line from the Tampa Bay Lightning. Hey, good series. You played us tough. All right. You got
to
get out of
you
the
You do
first
get a sense of that, though. That some of the quotes from the Lightning were to the effect of, I mean, it's a really good team, guys. They're going to get through eventually. You could feel like the Lightning almost felt sheepish about being the next step in the Toronto narrative.
803-0550 to join us on WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Super duper late, so a couple quick stats and we'll get back, we'll get out of break so we can get to Sal and talk football. On the Leafs, I wanted to wait, maybe Leaf fans could only take so much of that last segment, but this is from Stats by Stats, who tweeted out, the Maple Leafs are the first team in the history of Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NHL to lose a winner-take-all game in the opening round of the playoffs 5 years in a row. Sorry, Leaf. I know that I'm not trying to be a jerk. I just thought that was a really amazing stat. So that's my contribution to stat of the day. You want a McDavid stat you want to share?
Well, I had my Shesterkin stat, but I'll do this. I'll toss you this McDavid stat. Megan Jacob tweeted this a little bit ago this morning. She's with Hockey Analytics, and anyway, Connor McDavid scoring chances in that series when he was on the ice for the Oilers Kings, 68-24.
Seems one-sided.
Seems like he's doing all right. And goals, he was on the ice for 20 of their 26 goals in seven games.
It's a pretty solid number.
It is.
He had 14 points in the series.
And it's just funny to think about, because had they lost Game 7, someone would have said, you know, Stevie Y gave up his offensive game once to work on his D-zone stuff.
Yeah.
Scoring chances 68-24. I feel like you got to be better in the D-zone, man.
He's not enough of a two-way player come playoff time. Right. It's really a bad problem.
Somebody would have said it.
Go Battle of Alberta. Love that matchup. All right, Sal's going to join us. He was at Bill's rookie minicamp on Friday. We'll go through that and see how some of the young guys look. That's coming up in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!
listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.